God's grace and peace are yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, Matthew chapter 10, previously read. In the name of Jesus, for whom Christians live and die, their fellow redeemed. Sometimes you see it in the headlines, and sometimes you don't. 21 Christians in the country of Libya slaughtered by ISIS fighters. On Palm Sunday in Egypt, the services are rocked by a bomb that slaughters dozens of Coptic Christians. In the country of Laos, one of our own missionaries, a Hmong man, was imprisoned for 3 months simply because he was a Lutheran pastor. In North Korea, dozens, if not hundreds, are behind bars because of their faith in Jesus. Have you ever wondered to yourself whether how long it's going to take before that type of activity reaches our shores? How long before the freedoms that we enjoyed and celebrated last Tuesday no longer include the freedom to worship Jesus publicly? How long before you come to church and find that the doors are chained shut by government officials? How long before it becomes illegal to own a Bible or to operate a Christian school or to call homosexuality a sin? I don't know what the future holds, politically or religiously. I don't know the impact that the rise of Islam will have on our world. What I know is what God says in His Word. And He tells us that the persecution of the Christian church will never go away. Whether it's overt physical violence or it's the more subtle discrimination and intimidation. In either case, Jesus says it's not going to end. Which really leads us to the question we'd like to consider today, namely, how will you deal with persecution? In His Word, Jesus offers a couple answers. He says, first of all, don't be surprised by it. And secondly, don't be afraid of it. First, don't be surprised by it. The words we have recorded here were spoken by Jesus to His apostles right before He sent them out on a missionary journey throughout Judea. He wants to prepare them for what they are about to encounter. And so He warns them, hey, not everybody's going to welcome you with open arms. People are going to hate you. They're going to throw you in prison. They're going to scourge you in the synagogues. They're going to haul you before the councils. And Jesus doesn't use the term if or maybe. He says when. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. And why does Jesus say the disciples should expect to be persecuted? Why should they not be surprised? He tells them, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. In other words, Jesus says to His disciples, guys, if you're going to be one of My followers, don't expect to be treated any differently, certainly not any better than I was treated. He goes on to say, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? With those words, Jesus is reminding the disciples of, of something that the Pharisees had said. The Pharisees accused Jesus of being in cahoots with the devil. Beelzebub was another term for Satan. Jesus' point again is, if people thought I was in alliance with the devil, they're going to think the same of you. Don't expect to be treated any differently than I was treated. And really all you need to do is look at and compare how Jesus' life ended with how the disciples' lives ended, and you see that Jesus was telling them the truth. Last week in Bible class, Pastor Selno took us through the list of all the apostles and what happened to them. You caught a little glimpse of it here in the children's lesson, right? There's a reason there are so many swords and spears in those windows, because they all died, all but John died as martyrs. The point is this. When you think of what Jesus went through at the hands of his enemies, when you think of what the disciples went through at the hand of their enemies, don't be surprised when Christians face hardships and persecution at the hands of those who oppose the gospel. Whether that opposition comes in the form of a Muslim government that is trying to enforce Sharia law, which, among other things, makes it a capital offense to convert somebody from Islam to Christianity, or whether it's the Chinese government that's trying to suppress the growth of house churches in mainland China, or whether it's the opposition that comes in the form of a UW professor who tells his class, listen, if you believe in creation, you'll never pass my biology class, or the opposition that comes in the form of your boss who laughs at you when you ask for time off to go to church, or your coworkers who accuse you of being a better than thou because you won't engage in the vulgar language that they're engaging in, or the opposition that comes from your boyfriend who dumps you because you won't cross the line that he wants you to cross. Whatever form the opposition takes, whether it's physical or it's mental and emotional, don't be surprised by it. Jesus predicted it. And as long as Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, he's going to continue to try to tear us away from Jesus and from our confession of him. When it comes to persecution, Jesus says, first, don't be surprised by it. But more importantly, don't be afraid of it. Here in our text, Jesus refers to the people who will actually be doing the persecuting when he says to you and me, so do not be afraid of them. Now maybe that sounds a little easier said than done. I mean, what if them is my boss who could fire me? What if them is the guy wielding the sword? What reason do I have to not be afraid of those people? Jesus gives us three reasons. He says, first of all, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. What does that mean? That means if a jihadist walks in our church and detonates a bomb, what did he do to harm your eternal life? Nothing. Can't hurt you. Right? You'll be with Jesus in heaven. How did the psalmist put it? The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? In other words, a fellow human being might be able to put me in the grave, but he can't put me in hell. Only God can do that. For as Jesus says, God is the one who can destroy soul and body in hell. As long as you trust in God's mercy in Christ, hell will never be your final destination. The second reason that you and I don't need to fear those who are persecuting us is the value that God places on us. Jesus compares the birds and the believers when he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Isn't that the truth? As much as God loves every single creature he's created, the fact is God never sent his Son to die for sparrows. He sent his Son to die for sinners. And so when you think about who's really worth the most, think about the price that Jesus paid for you. Jesus' blood is what makes you worth more than sparrows. It's what makes you precious in his sight. And that's true whether you're sitting all alone in the cafeteria because nobody wants to talk to you, or you're sitting all alone in a prison cell because of your confession of Christ. The third reason that you don't need to be afraid of those who persecute you is found in the fact that in the end, the truth will all come out. Jesus puts it this way, "So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known." Again, what does that mean? Jesus is drawing a distinction between what seems to be the truth and what really is the truth. For example, if a Christian is tortured and put in jail, it looks like God doesn't love that person. And it might feel like I'm not really a child of God. But that's not true. The truth is what Jesus states in the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There's the truth that ultimately drives out all fear. The fact that through faith in Jesus Christ, believers are children of God and will one day be in heaven. That's the certainty that you and I have by grace through faith in Jesus. And it's what compels us to share that big picture with others. That's what Jesus means when he says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim on the roofs." And when we do that, when we speak the truth in love, even when people don't want to hear it, when we stand up for Jesus, even when it's hard to do, when we confess that without Jesus there's no way we're getting to heaven, then what does Jesus promise to do? "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." Isn't that an amazing promise? To think that if you confess, if you realize that all you've earned from a just and holy God is hell, and instead, in Christ, God gave you heaven, if you recognize that even your faith in Jesus is a precious gift from God, nurtured by word and sacrament, then on your final day, when you stand before God's throne, your Savior is going to look at you and say, Father, this one, in spite of her flaws, that one, in spite of his failings, belong to us. They all do. Because of the blood that I spilled, they are ours. They are now safe in our arms. My friends, that precious truth is what gives us the ability to confess. Whether I live or I die, I belong to the Lord. God, give us the ability to make that our confession to our dying day. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.